orient ourselves to our opening up the scripture tonight. It is just so difficult to, well, it's impossible to see what's going on in scripture without the Holy Spirit. Talking to a couple of pastors today, and it's just really interesting their experience, and we were talking in how the Bible is written, and if you want to see law, it just, how, you know, there's so many verses that it make it very clear that you can look at it and you can see one thing and you can see the other. And this is coming so clear in our study in Samson tomorrow night, when we realize to talk about it, except I talked with him today. And until the veil is lifted, you're going to see some type of work, some type of a church that has you doing something, some kind of control factor. Let's prepare ourselves and then move into our study tonight. I want to say some introductory things about love, spiritual love, so that the Spirit can open our eyes and just take us on this journey of understanding these things. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. Let's pray. Father, the journey that we all experience in our lifetime is a journey in regard to our relationship with you, and how we view and see, Father, so much the relationship with you is has direct effect on our relationship with each other, with one another. We have such little time on earth, but it's enough time to make this journey. The years of man are very brief, but they're long enough if we want to see. Father, it is our desire and our purpose to present ourselves to your Spirit, that he will show us, that we will see. We pray, Father, tonight that your Spirit will open our eyes in regard to this love, this watershed, this milestone, this essential of being transformed into the image of Christ. Pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Again, I don't know of anything more important than what we're studying tonight. You have two believers, and I'm going to stay with two believers. It works even more so if you deal with an unbeliever, but since we expect more out of a believer. But here you are, and your relationship with other believers, and there'll be believers that you're going to disagree with. And when I say disagree, I mean disagree theologically. Then what are we to do? There is a movement all through church history that is grounds enough to separate and to even do more than just separate. I think I told you the story how John Calvin walked out and from preaching and hung an Arminian right there in his courtyard of his church. Church history is just filled with these examples. The more bold ones become known, but they exist in families and individuals and in every city. The attacks and the counterattacks that we just seem that we have to make against those that we disagree with. People, let me just again say to you, the difference does it make if someone does or does not agree with you. And let's say the closer they are to you, husband, wife, family, friends, and this type of thing, work, the more angry you get or the more discouraged you get that you can't control them, these kinds of things, what difference does it make how angry you get? It just causes more destruction. And so we look at and we see, what did God give us? What did Christ leave us? He left us the Spirit, and we're going to look further into this, that even if this person does disagree with you, that there is this spiritual love that flows through. But if we feel like we've got to control a person who disagrees theologically, if we're somehow offended, and this is what I hope that you'll see about grace and about God. God, who is love, who is so big, people don't think, you know, people get this idea they can offend God. God isn't offended. And we shouldn't be offended. And grace isn't offended. But the one that is often offended is somebody who's standing on some kind of law, some kind of list, and you've just got to agree with my list. And you just got to do this, and they become very tense, very disruptive in their own soul, and they've got to control. And instead of spiritual love, they've got to control this person, and this person has to agree with them. But I want you to appreciate in spiritual love, Christ did not say to us, the new commandment I give to you is that you all think the same thing on every doctrine or every issue. He didn't say that. Had he said that, then we would deal with that. But he didn't say that. Which leads you to understand he knew that wasn't going to happen. So we're going to run into people who have... But what is it inside of your soul that's going to remain peaceful, calm, kindness, not react? It's spiritual love. And it's a phenomenal thing when it becomes a reality. I know in my own life, my own person, in days gone by, I was ready to take any and all on in theological debates at seminary and from then on and then before then Lord, if you don't see it, then, you know. But what a calmness there is when spiritual love is flowing through, that's fine. There's no problem. You don't want to believe that. You don't see that this way or that, or I don't see it your way. Okay. Remember, each of us are on different journeys. And because someone doesn't see something today doesn't mean they're not going to see it tomorrow. But you're not going to push them there. And all you're going to do is disrupt your own spiritual life. And this is why love is long-suffering. We'll come this route again when we come to how love is long-suffering. But when you combine the fact that love is long-suffering with the Holy Spirit giving peace, it's not a case of wrath. It's much stronger than that, deeper than that. That's okay. Whatever our relationship is, husband, wife, family, friends, work, church, whatever, It's this type of thing. So, this is my disagree. Somebody doesn't do what you want. Now we've moved from the point of whether or not they agree with us or not to not doing what we want. And this becomes even more involved in control. So, what are you going to do? Beat them up? You know, what are you going to do? Just walk out in a huff? Ruin the whole day, the whole night, the whole relationship, the whole marriage, the whole family fellowship, the church, the work, the social life? Because somebody isn't going to do what you want. But I'm right, and I know I'm right. Are you? Is being disruptive? You know, if we've seen it before, more Christians are concerned about being right than they are about being in truth. And what does spiritual love do? Who's the one? If you're the one in the spirit-filled life, and the Holy Spirit is pouring into you spiritual love, who's the one that is going to just define that? That's fine then. The disciples weren't doing what Jesus Christ wanted, and they got down and washed their feet. And I could give many other illustrations. In that regard. So what do we do when someone doesn't do what we want them to do? What has God given us? I'm talking about where we live, because people don't do what we want them to do in our lives. Family, friends, they don't do what we want them to do. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying they don't do what we want them to do. And many people become very stressed because people won't do what they want them to do. You won't make the decisions I want you to make. I mean, you can very distress builds up. That's a big buzzword in our society. Everybody has stress. What's the solution? Everywhere from drugs, the bottle, to exercise, to pills, to, you know, just get away from it all, move into the country, and on and on and on. Well, there's another solution. There's a spiritual one. that's more powerful than all of those, and it's free. And it's easy. You don't even have to go and work out in a gym for an hour. You just walk in faith in the Spirit. He pours in spiritual love along with inner peace and inner joy. But I'm dealing with the love here. And that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't ruin anything. Let's go to someone. They sin against you. I'm not just talking about they sin. They sin against you. Let's go for the jugular, because if it applies there, it applies for the fact that they sinned against somebody else. They hurt you. You want them to pay. You want vengeance. You want them to crawl. You want them to do this and that and the other. What do we have with spiritual love? Spiritual love looks to restore them. I'm not even an issue here. If you sin against me, isn't even an issue. If you hurt me, isn't even an issue. What you did was against me. I have to decrease and he must increase. He is just love that comes through to them that restores them. So I'm just taking a few things that happen in all of our lives, day in and day out. The more intimate you are with people, family and friends, and keep branching it out, work, something, then these things happen. And what God has given to us is spiritual love. He's not given to us law. He's not given to us righteousness. He's not given to us justice. He's given to us love. And love doesn't control others. All love does is control you. But love doesn't have to straighten out the world here. Love doesn't have to get even with the whole world. So what we're looking at is one of the most powerful things in dealing with our individual human relationships. That's what most all these books are about, and dealing with interrelationships, husband, wife, friends, relatives, children, women, men. We're so occupied with self. Now it's not only just a person, it's a woman. And not only is it a woman at various stages in her life. It's not only an issue about if it's people, it's a male. And it's a male in various stages of his life and various things going on in his life. And I mean, you can just compound this thing that it just gets so heavy. Trying to figure it all out. Psychology and all of these things. And Christians have bought into all of this stuff. And why not? Because we don't have a secret that we know, that we use, meaning the power of the Spirit. So we do what the world does. The world says it has to do with personality. Oh, yeah, well, that's right. So Christians write books on that. It has to do because somebody's a woman. Oh, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the Scripture says. In Christ, we're all the same. No. The world has pointed out that women and men and all this stuff are different. That's the whole deal and all of that. And so the Holy Spirit's got to do everything to... No. And so the world looks at us and they say, big deal. How are they different from us? Y'all don't have a secret. Y'all don't have anything we want. It's when the world looks, and they see it very rarely, but when the world looks and they see spiritual love in action, and the first response the world has is that's foolishness. You know the way you're handling that, that's foolishness. Then, if it could persist, what do they say? Not only is it foolishness, we got to stop that. We got to, you can't be doing that. So the world has little seen spiritual love, as we're seen on the cross. Not seen it very much in the history of the church. And so when the unbeliever looks at the history of the church, why would they think we have some kind of a secret? Why would they even begin to say, hey, what do y'all have that makes you different? No different than us. And so what we're looking at is this that God has given to us. And this is the passage we're looking at. So let's open up now to John chapter 14, which is where we were last Tuesday evening when time captured us. So let's move back to that point. And we have moved now to verse 16. Now, just to orient you how we got here by, in chapter 13, Jesus Christ said, I give you a new commandment, and that commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. And so now he's moved into how we're going to be able to fulfill that. And so we have moved in our study in John 14, and we're going to do it rather rapidly, but this is where we are. And let's see verse 16. And I will ask the Father, verse 15, just to orient, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what are those? Faith and love. He's just given them to us. He's just given us the commandment of love and the commandment of faith. Okay. Now, verse 16. And I will, future, I will ask the Father. That's when he descends, departs earth, goes to be with the Father at the after the crucifixion and then burial and the resurrection, and then later the ascension, and then the session. And when the session, or the seating of Christ, he will ask the Father. And he, God the Father, will give you, members of the church, another helper, that he may be with you forever. And here we noted briefly the relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. The maximum respect of Christ for the authority of God the Father, the confidence that he has that the Father will answer the prayer, and the request now. And we left off with what motivated this request in verse 16, chapter 13, verse 1, his love for us. His love for us motivated Christ to make this request of God the Father. It is a request that God the Father will answer. And because it is motivated by the Holy Spirit, that's where he receives his love, as we've seen. And then it says, and he, God the Father, will give you, future tense, coming of the church, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we have future. This is after. The future is after. It's right in the same hour, like that we're going to see the hour in John. The hour will come now is that you will, he that will worship in spirit. So it's